Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 1, Moses encourages God's people by saying, "Listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live." This is our text. Now, the title of the book in which we find our Old Testament reading actually tells us what we are receiving when we hear, study, and apply the Word from God into our lives today. The word Deuteronomy literally means second law or repeated law. Moses is the one whom God directed to speak and write these words through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The setting is in the land of Moab, on the east side of the Jordan River. Moses has been God's appointed leader to guide Israel through the wilderness for the last 40 years to this point. And now they are eager, they are ready to finally enter into the promised land. But you see, there are two things that impact this situation. First, Moses has been told directly from Yahweh that he will not be allowed to enter into the promised land because he did not carefully follow God's directions earlier at the place called Meribah. You see, when the people were quarreling with God, when they were complaining about their lack of water, God intended to show them the true life-giving power of his word. And so he directed Moses, quote, "Tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water," unquote. But Moses didn't trust that God's word alone could do such a thing. He thought there was something he had to do along with God's command. And so he struck the rock twice with his staff. And the water did gush forth. But Yahweh was angry at Moses. And he said, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly in the land that I have given them." Now, some months later, at the very entrance to the promised land, which is just on the opposite side of the Jordan, Moses has learned his lesson. 40 years after God first brought Israel out from under Pharaoh's slavery, saving them and making them his chosen people by the power of his undeserved grace, and giving them his perfect law from Mount Sinai as a covenant for how his people must live their lives before him, God gives Moses his very last earthly assignment. He tells Moses to encourage what is estimated to be around 2 to 2.5 million people in the children of Israel at this point, to encourage them by recounting God's law to them before they cross the Jordan without him. And so Moses does that here with the book of Deuteronomy. He reminds them of God's mighty work in, with, and among his people all the way from Egypt to the present day. And this time, Moses is careful. He is direct with the people. He calls them and all future generations to listen to keep, to trust entirely in the power of God's word. Not his works or their works along with God's word to help and guide and strengthen them for life. He uses the terms statutes, just decrees, teachings, commandments, and laws, all references to God's holy and perfect word. You and I, friends, we are the children's children, that Moses in verse 9 says are also to know and be encouraged by this same life-giving word. So let's sit up, open our hearts, our ears, and our minds, and be encouraged by God. It's clear that Moses does not want any of God's people moving forward in history to make the same mistake that he made. So first thing, he starts in verse 1 by saying, listen. Listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Well, that's two things that we sinners have struggled with from the time of Adam and Eve. Number one, actually listening to directions, to guidance and teaching from those in authority who care about us. I don't mean pretending like you're listening, but paying close attention to every detail. And then actually, number two, doing them. That is, following God's word as he intends us to do. Notice that Moses specified that the giver of both these perfect words and this promised land is the God of your fathers. This too is a direct encouragement. Don't be swayed by the people around you to listen to or follow their gods. Don't let your own pride or your earthly desire make you think that you are now the God of your life. No. The one true God is the only God that has ever existed and does not and cannot change. Yahweh, the great I Am, who was, is, and will be forever God. And since that truth is beyond dispute, then verse 2 must be taken seriously. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your God that I command you. What's Moses saying here? Don't do what I did. When I let my pride get the best of me and I added to God's word so that I would look good before the people and I struck the rock with my staff. That is such an important thing for all of us to take to heart, isn't it? Just don't do it. Don't even entertain those terrible five words, but I know better now. Moses didn't know better than God. No one else in all of history has ever known better than God. And neither do you or I. Besides, look at what God's word has the power to do according to verse 2. Three things. Moses says that you may live. Later on in Deuteronomy 32, 46 through 47 and 47, Moses says of God's word, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And by his word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. And beyond God's word helping us in this earthly life, Paul shows us in Romans 1 verse 16 the far greater power that God's gospel word of Jesus has, saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And number two, Moses also shows that God's decrees, they actually travel with us wherever we go. The people of Israel saw that firsthand as they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years. But now Moses says, listen and do God's decrees as you go in to the land before you. Oh, what a comfort, right? No matter what you are doing, no matter where you are at, even if you are somewhere that, God forbid, the government or parents or teachers or a boss or someone else says that you can't bring God and His Word, they can't stop it. This is why Psalm 119 verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Oh, that's talking about that dreaded concept, memorization. When you memorize, when you pay attention to and place God's word in your heart, the power and the benefits and the comfort of God are with you wherever you are at. And number three, Moses says God's decrees are intended to guide His people as we possess God's gifts for doing His will. At the time of Moses, God's word was their guide and how to live and what to do in the new promised land. For you and me, God's word still has the best guidance, the best direction for how we are to live as a student in school, as an employee or employer at work, a neighbor at home, a parent, a grandparent, a community member, or even just a driver on the highway. The gifts and the opportunities and the resources that God gifts to us are endless. But every one of them comes with principles and guidance for how to use them best for our good, but ultimately for God's glory in His perfect word. Four times in verses 2, 6, and 9, there is a very important Hebrew word that Moses uses for our encouragement here. It's translated as keep in the English. In the Hebrew, the word is shamar, and it means to guard, to give heed, to preserve, or do something very carefully. This is how Moses encourages us all to think of and treat God's statutes and just decrees. In fact, when we do so, he promises that God's words will then be our wisdom and understanding. Which makes sense, because what other source can there be for perfect objective truth than the one and only perfect and eternal God? And Moses goes even further in verse 6, saying that this wisdom, that this understanding that God promises us in His Word, when we live according to it, it will become visible, quote, in the sight of the peoples. Now, this doesn't mean that we are living with an arrogant, I'm greater and wiser than you kind of attitude, or that we're beating people over the head with God's word in an unloving manner. No. But at the same time, we do not shy away either from living and speaking in our day-to-day routines according to God's law in the Ten Commandments, according to His gospel of grace and forgiveness and unrestrained love for all people. Yes, when we guard, heed, preserve, and do these carefully, folks, we will look and sound different from most people. But that's God's intent for us. We do it because of all that God has already done for us in giving us this life and giving us the salvation that we do not deserve. You see, that's what Moses even says will happen. God's just decrees and perfect word will be what actually defines and shapes our identity in this world. And then the world around us will have to say, quote, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as Yahweh our God is to us whenever we call upon Him? Now in Moses' day, Israel actually became a world nation of believers in Yahweh. Today, the nation of Israel, at least that of which the Bible is talking, is the one holy Christian church, the gathering of all true believers in Christ. And yes, it is Jesus. It is His saving work on the cross for sinners. It is His resurrection victory over death. It's all of us that He has gathered into His church through the gift of faith given as He brought us through the water and word of baptism and set us apart from the rest of the world. Because, well, we all started. We all started out in the same place. Sinful to the core, separated from God by that sin and unbelief. That's what Jesus was talking about in our gospel reading today in Mark 7, 21 to 23, with that list of all the evil things that come from within, out of the heart of all mankind. But God, He would not just leave the people that He created to die in that sin and eternal condemnation. And so Moses says He came near to save us. He came through His servant Moses to lead the people through the Red Sea, to save them, to guide them through the wilderness as He taught them to follow and keep His law so that they could live in as His holy nation. All of that, though, led to the ultimate act of nearness, the ultimate act of love, when He came Himself in the flesh and blood of His Son Jesus, as the Word of God made flesh. So that in Jesus, God Himself could die for our guilt. God Himself could rise for our salvation. And now, as Jesus says in John 14, verse 23, if anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You can't be nearer than that. That's who we are. That's what we are now today, defined by God's word, by His grace through faith in Jesus. And now verse 9 defines both the future and the legacy of all of us as God's holy people. Moses actually uses the Hebrew word shamar that we talked about earlier back to back at the beginning of this verse, along with another Hebrew word, me'od, that modifies shamar. This is to mean that God is calling us to preserve, guard, keep, and do God's word. And here's what ma'od means. In the highest degree. So that we preserve, guard, keep our soul, ourself, our life from forgetting or moving away from our loving and saving Lord. It is to be done in the highest degree. There's two reasons this is so important. As Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, quote, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it, unquote. In other words, lest we lose our own salvation and eternal life with Jesus. This must be our first and greatest focus. That's how God's word defines and preserves our future into eternity. And as to our legacy, in other words, once we've gone from this earth, Moses says, quote, make God's decrees known to your children and your children's children. Look, if our Christian ancestors had not preserved and passed God's saving word on to us carefully, if they had just gone with the flow of the culture as so many do today, even in the church, you and I would not be blessed as we are right now. But we are blessed beyond compare by Jesus. We are loved by Him. We are guided by His law and gospel for this life and for eternity. And in God's law, Proverbs 1 verse 8 tells us, if we are children, so children, listen, but you know what? Everybody in this room is a child, okay? But if we are children, quote, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, unquote. And if we are parents, Moses directs us in Deuteronomy 11, 19, you shall teach God's words to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. In other words, all day long. And Psalm 71, 18 shows that this encouragement from God, it never leaves us while we are here on earth. It says, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. May God guide us all to do just that in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.